Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I need to plug it. I need to come closer. Welcome to another episode of The Preacher and the Miracle Man here on Wednesday, January 30th, 2019. We're so glad to have you on this very, 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 very cold day, one of the coldest days, one of the very coldest days since the mid-1990s. We had a couple of days like this, and one in 94, 96, and then we had one vortex thing that's going on and from on down into the southern U.S., parts of the southern U.S., I should say. It has not been pretty. Wind flows went down to what I would call ugly levels.
Good news is that while still here, I will say though, this just makes me want to have even a hotter summer. I used to say, not in the 90s, now I do want some 90s to sit down and bask and see how it's done. I know the December. Anyone who knows me, can probably figure out that I do not like this cold. But when it's like this, at least I have, a very good hat, gloves,
yeah,
and stuff like that. Otherwise, I just don't know, because it is some rough stuff, especially if you're in any open area where the wind can blow through. You just got to be careful. The good news is we're here, and we've all made it. Pretty much all schools in Michigan will be closed again tomorrow. I wish the state of emergency meant that no one would have to make up any extra snow days that they used. To be honest with you, I do not think that if school districts used a ton of snow days that they should have to make them up. Quite honestly, I wouldn't care if they used 30 snow days. I'll get off on that now. But the weather's bad enough that they need to call it off. Call it off. Don't risk it. To try to meet some vague 180-day rule requirement. That I don't know if it should be more about quality than quantity. As far as kids in the classroom, it needs to be quality, not the quantity of days. But that's another topic for another day. We got a good night planned. We're going to study in the Bible about, continue studying on Samuel and the kingship of Saul. After that, we're going to go on, get on, and keep talking about Hebrews. I'm going to talk about a little bit tonight about how giving an account to God is like an exam. I'm going to talk about what happened with Michigan, Ohio State, what happened with the Pistons, and what my pick is for the Super Bowl. And as far as the Super Bowl, who knows what's going to happen with the coin flip? Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. Right. I will say, now that Michigan has played that team to the South, I figured I would get into why exactly, as a state, does Miracle Man prefer Ohio over Michigan? I'm trying to give some reasons. None of these are going to be about laws or anything like that. They're just going to be different things. One, these are in no order necessarily. As far as really big metro areas, populations of 1 million people and up, Ohio has 3. Cincinnati, Cleveland, Columbus. Sorry, that really bugs me. Cincinnati, Cleveland, Columbus. The 3 C's alphabetical order. Whereas up here in Michigan, we just have Detroit. Other things. In general, Ohio tends to get quite a bit less snow than up here is. One thing I like personally is that down there, it doesn't take as much snow to shut everything down. And when the weather warrants, I am the kind of person that for me, after a certain amount, it would be very easy for me to just say, shut it down. Don't bother trying to open it. Leave it shut down for a day. What did a day hurt anyway? So they get less snow. A few warmer days. Of course, one minus there could be that'll be, I'll get to, yeah, because this is going to be the pluses and minuses. As to why do I like Ohio more, but then what are a couple minuses? Another big thing, food wise. Now, I'm not comparing Ohio compared to other states. I'm comparing other southern states. I'm just comparing Ohio to Michigan.
Ohio has a lot more of your Chick-fil-A's. They have Waffle House, 64 of them in Ohio. We can't seem to get a single one in the state. As to why, I don't know. I'm not even going to take any time tonight to speculate and try to guess. Let me see what else. Oh, I like, they have two huge amusement parks in Ohio. We just have one that I would call mediocre. All Michigan Adventure in my mind is good for us for the water park. As far as Michigan Adventure versus Cedar Point, I just soon skip Michigan Adventure and go straight to Ohio. Of course, they have Kings Island too, which I've only been there once and didn't even get to go on all the big rides there. Maybe next time. But, two very good amusement parks down there in Ohio. What else? I like how down in southern Ohio, you get a little bit more of that dialect that reminds you of some of the more southern states or Appalachian states like Kentucky, certain parts of Indiana, and others. So a bit more diverse groups of people there. There's, as far as the minus, not as many beaches, but I think most of that is because it's just not by the great, Michigan's the Great Lakes state and not Ohio, the one main drawback. Other than that, to me, as far as Midwest goes, Ohio is a big winner in my book. And I know I have admitted on my show before, believe it or not, folks, a couple times, that I am actually an Ohio State fan. On my show, however, I realize many of these listeners are from Michigan. So that's part of why I'm always hoping for Michigan to beat Ohio State. Although, personally, I'm coming out. I'm hiding nothing. Personally, I am a Buckeye fan through and through. I am. Scarlet and gray, baby. That's what I say. Scarlet and gray. And Monologue has been brought to you by the great dining establishments of Toledo, Ohio, including Chick-fil-A and Schmucker's Diner. Schmucker's is a diner that has been around since before the first McDonald's. They've been around since 1947. I've been there three different times thus far, and they've been
really nice to me. They really have. They really have. They have a lot of good old-fashioned food there. The owners are Christians, which is great to see. And it's just a great atmosphere. Over there on North Reynolds Road, south of Central Avenue, and east of U.S. 23. Down there across the state line. Also by Chick-fil-A, four locations. I haven't been to the other Chick-fil-A's in Toledo, but I feel like I get better service at the mall Chick-fil-A's. Maybe it's just because I like them better because they're inside of those places. Part of it you need to look at is when you go to a place like that that's inside of a mall, you're not as apt to get orders that are messed up. Are you? You're not as apt to get orders that are messed up. And side note, you're more apt to get your fry box actually filled. That's one of my biggest pet peeves is when I come to a McDonald's like this or a place like it, and the fry box isn't full. And they leave all the space in there. You know, fill it. Feed the man. That's just what I have to say about it. But they're very nice. They say my pleasure. And it's really nice. Down there in the food court of the Franklin Park Mall on Monroe Street, just, I believe, south of I-475. Maybe it's north, I'm not sure. But nonetheless, it's at Monroe Street and Talmadge Road near I-475, just a few miles from the state line. Also brought to you by Franklin Park Mall itself, with many great stores, including H&M, Forever 21. I mean, fashion stores like H&M and Forever 21, Dillard's, Macy's, JCPenney, among others, as well as a Dick's Sporting Goods, a great food court, along with a Dave and Buster's arcade, along with a 16-screen movie theater upstairs at the Franklin Park Mall. Down there. One of my favorite malls down there in Ohio. I'm not saying it is my favorite. I've been to some other really good ones in that state. A couple in Columbus. One in Cleveland. And one in Cincinnati. I've been to one of them in Dayton that was good. There's another one in Dayton that I've heard great things about that I haven't been to yet, but there's some good malls in Ohio. There really is. They're all different. You know, even with the good malls, No two malls are the same. They're not. They're not the same. They're just not. Okay. Now we're going to get into how to listen to the show real quick. And then we're going to pray and we're going to open up the Word of God. I want to encourage you folks to please tell other people how to listen to the show. You want to go to blogtalkradio.com. In the search bar, you type in Upfront Entertainment. After you type that in, you'll see a link that says Living Large. After you click on that link, you'll see a button that says Miracle Man. Okay. After you hit the Miracle Man button, you'll see another button that says the follow button. I want you to hit that follow button because then you're going to get notified when we get ready to do our shows. For example, Monday, same thing as today. Same time, same place. We have a phone number also where you can be a part of the show and you can call in and talk to me about generally anything you want to talk about. We can talk about sports. We can talk about generally anything else you want to talk about. Sports, salvation, you need prayer, much whatever. The number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that's 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts. We hear the prompt that says press 1. Go ahead and press 1. You'll go to a call screener, and then I'll answer the phone. And then I'm going to say, what say you tonight? And then you'll be able to have at it and say what you wish. Prayerfully, we can get some good calls tonight. Now, we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great show tonight. Thank you for this great audience that has chosen to be a part of the show, wherever they are, however they're listening, whatever device they're using. I thank you that you are with these people, wherever they are, and that you just minister to them. You minister to their heart. You get in their spirit, man, and let the word just permeate on the inside of them. And I thank you that these people will be ready to receive what you have for them tonight as we study your word for a little while tonight. And I just thank you that your hand is upon them. Thank you that you use me tonight as I read and study in your word and glorify your name tonight. And I just thank you that I give you permission to just flow and interrupt me in any way that you so choose, God. And I just give you praise and honor and glory. And Lord, I make my confession over the show right now. I claim that it is prosperous. Finances are coming in the name of Jesus. I claim that more increase and the amount of listeners is coming to the show. We're believing God to double and then triple and then double it again. And we're just going to keep raising the goal and reaching more people through you. And we're believing in the name of Jesus for salvations to take place. As I'm going to be dealing with that a little bit later tonight, I'm going to be dealing with that for a few minutes because you put that on my heart. I just thank you that salvations will take place on the show In Jesus' matchless name, amen, and amen, and amen. Just need my bag. I just need my bag.
It's right there. Set me on the chair.
Okay.
Right over here, honey. Right here.
Where?
Set me right out for you.
Oh, okay. All right, folks. What? I know that. I'm just saying. Folks, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 9. No, excuse me. 1 Samuel 11. Samuel 11. Just doing something. Then I'm going to turn in my Bible. What'd you say?
Medium Coke, no ice.
True. Turn in your Bible to 1 Samuel 11, please. 1 Samuel 11. And we're just going to keep on keeping on. Whoops, I got the wrong one out. So you guys are going to beat me. You guys are going to beat me. That gives me time to say, whatever you do, whatever I do here at McDonald's, you go ahead and study with me. If I sing, you sing. I open up the Word of God to study. You go ahead and study with me. And we'll just keep on keeping on in the Lord. Amen. Found my spot. We're going to begin with verse 1 of chapter 11. Let me just check the clock. We're going to read 11 and then 12. Then after that, I'm going to take some time and exhort. About what God has put in my heart. Nahash, the Ammonite, went up and besieged Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jalesh said to him, make a treaty for us, and we will be subject to you. But Nahash the Ammonite replied, I will make a treaty with you only on the condition that I gouge out the right eye of every one of you, and therefore bring disgrace on all Israel. Turn the page, verse 3. The elders of Jabesh said to him, give us 7 days so that we can send messengers throughout Israel. If no one comes to rescue us, we will surrender to you. When the messengers came to Gibeah with Saul and reported these terms to the people, they all wept aloud. Just then Saul was returning from the fields behind his oxen. And he asked, what is wrong with the people? Why are they weeping? Then they pleaded to him what the men of Jobab had said. When Saul heard their words, the word of God came upon him in power, and he burned with anger. He burned with anger, and he took a pair of oxen in two pieces, and he sent the
pieces to messengers throughout Israel, proclaiming this is what will be done to the oxen of anyone who does not follow Saul, who does not follow Saul and Samuel. Then the terror of the Lord fell on the people, and they turned out the one man. When Saul mustered them at Bezek, the men of Israel numbered 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. They told the messengers who had come, "Say to the men of Jabesh Gilead and time, the sun is hot tomorrow. You will be delivered." Just when the messengers went and reported this to the men of Jabesh, they were elated. They said to the Ammonites, "Tomorrow we will surrender to you, and you can do to us whatever seems good to you." The next day, Saul separated his men, three divisions. During the last watch of the night, they broke into the camp of the Ammonites and slaughtered them until the heat of the day. Those who surrendered were scattered, so that no two of them were left together. Verse 12, the people then said to Samuel, "Who was it that asked, 'Shall Saul reign over us?' Bring the men to us, and we will put them to death." But Saul said, "No one shall be put to death today, for this day the Lord has rescued Israel." Then Samuel said to the people, "Come, let's go to Gilgal, and there reaffirm the kingship." So all the people went to Gilgal and confirmed Saul as king in the presence of the Lord. There they sacrificed fellowship offerings. I was just taking a sip of my Coca-Cola. We are going to continue and turn to chapter 12. So turn to chapter 12. Samuel said to all Israel, "I have listened to everyone who said to me, 'And you have sent a king over you. Now you have a king as your leader. As for me,'" here's what Samuel said, "'As for me, I'm 18 years old and I'm ready to go play football and play video games and play on my Xbox and go get a brand new job.'" Does it say that, Bonnie?
Yes, it does.
No, about Samuel, does it say that? Why did you tell me yes then? I said that Samuel said, "As for me, I'm 18 years old. I'm ready to go play on my Xbox and get a new job and all that kind of stuff." He didn't say that. Here's what he actually said. And Samuel said to all Israel, "I'm listening to you, O king. Now you have a king as your leader. As for me, it says, I am old." Or in other words, as I like to say it, my numbers are a little bit higher.
Yeah.
My number, the way, I'm going to tell them,
You know, Bonnie. But I'm not talking to you. I'm talking them. You know, Grandma Bonnie, who's kind of my local grandma here in the Midland area. With her and her sisters, I always had this thing for like 12, 13 years. And what it was is like, you guys aren't old. It's just you guys' numbers are getting just a little bit higher.
I kind of like that. The numbers are getting higher.
The numbers are getting higher.
Yeah.
So that's what was happening to Samuel. The numbers were getting higher. I don't know why Samuel couldn't say it that way. He couldn't.
I don't either. But
I wish that's how he would have said it.
Can you tell me? Can I ask a question? How long did Samuel live? How old was he?
I forget, but I'm gonna keep reading the Bible.
Alrighty then.
Now, King, as your leader. As for me, I am old and gray, and my sons are here with you. I have been your leader from my youth until this day. Here I stand, testify against me in the presence of the Lord. You have anointed. Which ox have I taken? Which donkey have I taken? Whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? From whose hand have I accepted a bribe to make me shut my eyes? If I have done any of these, I will make it right. You have not cheated or oppressed us, they replied. You haven't taken anything from anyone's hand. Samuel said to them, the Lord is witness against you. And also, his anointed is witness this day that you have not found anything in my hand. He is witness, they said. Then Samuel said to the people, it is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron and brought your forefathers up out of Egypt. Now then, stand here, because I am going to confront you with evidence before the Lord as to all the righteous, as to all of the righteous acts performed by the Lord for you and your fathers. After Jacob entered Egypt, they cried to the Lord for help. And the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your forefathers up out of Egypt, and settled them in this place. But they forgot the Lord their God. Uh-oh. So they sold them into the hand of Syria. I mean, the hand of Sisera, the commander of the army of Hazor, and into the hands of the Philistines and the king of Moab, who fought against them. They cried out to the Lord and said, we have sinned. We have forsaken the Lord. We have served the Baals and the Ashtaroths, you know, the false gods. But now, deliver us from the hands of our enemies, and we will serve you. Then the Lord sent Jerob, Baal, Barak, Jephthah, and Samuel. And he delivered you from the hands of your enemies on every side, so that you lived securely. But when you saw that Nahash, king of the Amorites, was moving against you, you said to me, no, we want a king to rule over us. Turn the page. I can't. I'll put it in my pocket. I don't know that I can have that in my mouth and sound right. So I'll do that after. We want a king to rule over us. Even though the Lord, your God, was your king. Now, here is the king that you have chosen. One you asked for. See, the Lord has set a king over you. If you fear the Lord, and you serve and obey him, and do not rebel against his commands, and if both you and the king who reigns over you follow the Lord your God, good. But if you don't obey the Lord, and if you rebel against his commands, his hands will be against you, as it was against your fathers. Now then, stand still and see this great thing the Lord is about to do to you before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest now? I will call upon the Lord to send thunder and rain, and you will realize what an evil thing you did in the eyes of the Lord when you asked for a king. Then Samuel called upon the Lord, and the same day the Lord sent rain, thunder and rain. Or as we would say it in modern days, you would say God sent a thunderstorm. So all of the people stood in awe of the Lord and with Samuel. The people also said to Samuel, pray to the Lord your God for your servants so that we do not die. For we have added to all our other sins the evil of asking for a king. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Samuel replied. You have done all of this evil, yet do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Don't turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good, nor can they rescue you, because they are useless. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord can make you his own. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. And I will teach you the way that is good and right. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all of your heart. Consider what great things that he has done for you if you persist in doing evil. Both you and your king will be swept away. Let me just see how long this is. I'll read chapter 13 as well while I'm at it. Then after that, though, we're going to exhort a bit. Chapter 13, verse 1. So go ahead and turn there to 1 Samuel 13. 13, verse 1. Saul was 30 years old when he became king. What did you say? He was the same age as Jesus. He was 30. He was 30. Same year as Jesus. By the way, I'm going to keep reading. That's not my point of me reading this chapter by any means. It's not the point. That's not the point. That's just a verse that says that. When he became king. And he reigned over Israel for 42 years. Saul chose 3,000 men from Israel. 2,000 were with him at Michmash and in the hill country of Bethel. And 1,000 were with Jonathan at Gibeah in Benjamin. The rest of the men he sent back to their homes. Jonathan attacked the Philistine outpost at Gibeah, and the Philistines heard about it. Then Saul had the trumpets blown throughout the land and said, "Let the Hebrews hear." So all Israel heard the news. "Saul has attacked the Philistine outpost, and now Israel has become a trust to the Philistines." And the people were summoned to join Saul at Gilgal. And the Philistines assembled to fight Israel with 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers and soldiers as numerous as the sand on the seashore. And they went up and they camped at Michmash. By the way, Michmash was not a mashup of different things you can get at McDonald's. It was not a mashup of stuff you could get at McDonald's, you know, a bacon cheeseburger with cheese fries on it, or any of that kind of stuff, although I wish it was. That'd be pretty cool.
Right.
At Michmash, east of Beth Aven, when the men of Israel saw that their situation was critical and that their army was hard pressed, they hid in caves and in thickets among the rocks and in pits and cisterns. Some Hebrews even crossed the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul remained at Gilgal, and all the troops with him were quaking with fear. He waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal. And Saul's men began to scatter. So he said, "Bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offerings." And Saul offered up the burnt offering. Just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived. Saul went out to greet him. "What have you done?" asked Samuel. Replied, "When I saw that the men were scattering and that you did not come at the set time and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering. And you acted foolishly Samuel said, "You have not kept the command that the Lord your God gave to you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his, because you didn't keep the Lord's command." Then Samuel left Gilgal and went up to Gibeah and Benjamin. And Saul counted the men who were with him. They numbered about 600. Whereas the other group, the Philistines, had 10 times the amount of people, which is pretty scary. That's pretty scary. I'm gonna keep reading to the end of the chapter. But still, you think about it. That's pretty scary. 600 versus 6,000 being that outnumbered. That is just. Imagine if the Super Bowl teams did that, played that. They get. Oh, that wouldn't really be a football game. They just.
That's just wrong, right, Bill?
So what'd you say?
That's just wrong.
Israel without weapon, verse 16. And Saul and his son Jonathan and the men with them were staying in Gibeah in Benjamin, while the Philistines camped at Michmash, raiding. Pittai went out from the Philistine captain. Three destinements. One turned toward Ophrah in the resentment Shaul. Another toward the Paran. And the third toward the borderland overlooking the valley of Zeboim facing the desert. Not a blacksmith could be found in the whole land of Israel because the Philistines had said otherwise. The Hebrews will make swords, or they will make spears. So all Israel went down to the Philistines before their plowshares, mattocks, axes, and sickles sharpened. And the price was 2/3 of a shekel for sharpening plowshares and mattocks, and 1/3 of a shekel for sharpening forks and axes, and for repointing goads. So on the day of the battle, not a soldier of Saul and Jonathan had a sword or a spear in hand. Only Saul and his son Jonathan had them. And Jonathan now a detachment of Philistines had gone out of the pass at Michmash. And I'm going to end it there. All right. So you had a lot of stuff happen. You had Saul confirmed king. However, it turned out that It was not truly, not, it was truly not the will of God for those Israelites to ask God for a king like that. That was not the plan God had. That was wicked. Do you think God said that because he knew Saul would be wicked?
Well, you know, God knows all, and you know that he knew that he was going to do that. Because God already knew it.
So that's probably why.
Yeah.
And so they made
everything before we even do it.
It'd be like if God were to say, Americans, don't vote this person in to office, because if they get in there, they're going to be very wicked. It'd be like that.
Somebody that's not being nice or mean or whatever, God already knows they're doing it. He's not pleased with any of it.
He just knows.
And they
begged for a king, and Saul was chosen. And then they had the 7-day rule, you know, and then Saul went to offer the offerings to the Lord. But here's the thing. They did the offering without Samuel being there. And
why do you think that?
He did it because he was really hoping Samuel would be there, and he wasn't there yet. I think there was more to it than just because he was antsy.
I do too.
If it was just that was antsy, but regardless of that, he could have just sat there and waited. He could have just sat there and waited, and God would have been
patient.
And used his patience, then God would have been much more accepting of that offering. Because it'd be kind of like. If some of us just started putting all kinds of money in the bucket without there being a preacher up there.
That's not the way it works.
We put that in
for God.
Yeah.
Because that's his anyway.
Yeah.
You put our tithe in, that's not ours.
That's his.
Right. It's his.
It wasn't yours until you got it there. It didn't become yours suddenly if you took it out of the bucket.
Right.
It was his all along.
Whenever you work, he gets the first what?
He gets the first 10%. He gets the first 10%, period.
And he allows us to have 90.
Right. He could have said the other way around, folks.
Right.
He could have said the other way around, give me 90%.
But he wouldn't do that because he knew that we had to,
yeah,
we had to live and all that.
The same. He could have said, give me 90.
He could have said whatever he wanted to say. He could have said 20%.
Oh yeah, He could have said give me 20% or whatever. But my point is he for whatever reason just couldn't wait. He just felt. Well, forget if Samuel's here or not. I'm just going to give that offering anyway, even though he's not here. Foolish. And Saul got in big trouble for that. And he was basically told someone else is going to rule over these people because of it. And so he got demoted because of that sin. He did. And then they went to war. You know, they fought against the Philistines, and you know what happened in that 13th chapter? It goes into that chapter. You're not going to believe this. The Israelites didn't have any weapons except for Saul and Jonathan. No one else had any weapons. That would be like, folks, if on Sunday night, if for whatever reason, that'd be like if all the Patriots receivers, the wide receivers, the running backs, the quarterbacks, tight ends, for whatever reason, if the offense didn't show up and most of the defense didn't.
That's right.
They wouldn't have the same weapons. They wouldn't be able to do that. They had to just rely on nothing but backups. Then they'd give up the game to the Ram trucks, guaranteed. That's what would end up happening. And these people were warned about what would happen if they did not repent. They were warned about what would happen. That they would not have favor with God. And that brings up something. That brings me to something. Folks, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I don't know Jesus, but I don't really drink alcohol. I don't, I don't do any of this crazy stuff outside of me. I don't have all this crazy stuff in my life that I don't know if it's called sin or what it is. I don't have that much of it. It doesn't matter. You're still going to go to eternal hellfire, whether you sin a lot or you have very little sin if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're going to go to, if you do, those of you who do know him and you do accept him, you will. Everybody is going to give an account on Judgment Day. And the question is, what is that account going to be? What's the account going to be? Are you going to tell the truth about it? Because you're going to discuss, because you and God are going to have a talk about it. And he's going to be like, what about your words? How was your tithe? How was your church attendance? What about you as a parent with your children? How about at work on your job? How was that? And he's just going to go on down the list. And he's going to, even if you tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, but it shows that you've either been totally living in sin or you just don't know him as your Lord and Savior. Even if you told him the truth, you could still go to hellfire. And will if you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you know him as your personal Lord and Savior, but you've been away from God, you need to repent and get right with God. Because we're in the last of the last days right now. All this stuff we have going on with this, I'm not going to say the cold wave right now is part of it. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. We don't know. I do know, though, all this crazy stuff going on in our nation, all this crazy division we have going on, all this stuff going on in other countries, all this stuff of diseases from yesterday that we thought we had eradicated, like measles, coming back. That could be a sign that says the Lord is a-coming. You want to know something, though? We don't know the day or the hour that Jesus is gonna come, that we're going to be raptured. And then there's going to be the tribulation, which those of us who are Christians, we better not be here. So that's why, as Christians, those of us, we just better get everything right with God. That way, when the trumpet blows, we're ready to go. Up to heaven and be with God. after the 7 years, God is going to put his foot down on the Mount of Olives and say, enough is enough. And he's going to have power over the devil. And he's not just going to have power over him. He's going to demolish the devil. And then we'll come back on earth for the 1,000-year reign. We won't, and with no devil, but we'll still be in paradise. So heaven will still continue. We'll still have the same paradise. It'll still be. It'll just be on earth. But the point is, heaven is eternal, just like hellfire is eternal. And you got to make the choice. There's no halfway house. There's no halfway place. You know, in the middle of the ground somewhere. I was going to say halfway house, but that's like for transitional, you know, in between. That's why I said there's no halfway, you know, in between for like, you know, you were okay with God, but you had a little bit too much of this going on, or, you know, or you were a little late. Or whatever. Then it'd be like partial. It'd be like there'll be some good, but there'll be some bad. That's what the partial would be. Mm-hmm. But there's none of that. It's either heaven or hell. On judgment day, this account will be a test. Jesus is going to ask you all that stuff about your life and that. And it's not going to be A, B, C, or D. You know, multiple choice questions. You know, it's not going to be like that. He's going to ask you the questions. And if you are really good in God's eyes, and you live for him, and you know, whenever you did bad, you repent and just are obedient to God. Well, you know what he's going to say? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Now, even if you die on your deathbed, Dr. Barclay even if you accept Jesus on your deathbed, Dr. Barclay had a relative that did that. A couple of them. One it was just a couple of years before. The other, it was the day of. And they gave their life to God, and you're giving a point to God, and he would say, although you came to me on your deathbed, enter into the joy of the Lord. Even though you know, and they'll be like, you know, you repented to me. You got everything right with me. Now, what about these other people? You just ran away from God, and you were just wayward and wicked in the eyes of God, and all this other stuff, and you bad like a sheep, you lived like a pig, and all this kind of stuff. You know what? You're going to fail that test. You're going to fail the test. You're not going to make heaven. And now compared to school. At school, or at high school or college, you'll take a midterm and a final. In college, you'll take a midterm and a final. In high school, you know, if it's a full year class, you'll take an exam in like mid-January or so up here. In most other states, it'll be like in December, and then you'll take the other exam in, like, May or June, at the end of the school year. And these exams,
you know, you're graded based on how you do on the exam. A, B, C, D, E, F. In college, it's F. In most public schools, it's E. But you get graded. With God's exam, the final exam, pass, fail. Pass, you go to heaven. Fail, hellfire. And how you do on that test will determine where you spend eternity. How you do on that test will determine where you spend all of eternity. How you do on that test, because you're going to be judged by a holy God. And there's not going to be a grading curve, by the way. There's not going to be no grading curve. You know, if it was a hard exam and the highest score was like an 85 or something, there's no grading curve. You're not getting that from God. There's no grading curve. And if you were serious about this exam, the final exam, you would be getting right with God. And you'd be watching yourself. You would be, if you were really concerned, just like how with, you know, if let's just say the exams were in December for your college, you could, I'm not saying you would, you could go get the books in that months and months and months, like April or March or February, if you knew the classes you were going to take in fall semester, and start preparing like 8, 9, 10 months in advance to be prepared for those exams. But what about the exam? The final exam, judgment day. What about then? Are you going to prepare and get your life with God? Or are you just going to stumble into the exam room known as the throne of God to take the test, only to end up possibly failing the test? And I'm going to give you a chance tonight. I'm going to give a salvation call for people to get right with God. Because when the last of the last days, and I felt in my spirit that I was supposed to take a few minutes tonight to deal with this. So I'm being obedient. I'm dealing with it. So, if you want help on how you can get right with God, you can call the phone number at 215-383-3810. Once again, that is 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts. Go ahead and press 1. When you hear the prompt, it says press 1. You'll go through the call screener, and then I'll get you through, and I can help you. And I'm going to say a prayer, and I'm going to ask those of you listening to the show whether you're at a great place with God, you're coming back to God after running away, or this is your first time actually giving your life to Jesus. Regardless of this, say this with me. Dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. I mean, come into my heart. Change me. Fix me. Show me how I can live
for you. I ask you, Father, to work on the inside of me. Lead me. Guide me. And just show me how I can best live for you. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Look back. Look back. You just look back for the last time. You just look back for the last time, folks. If you gave your life to Christ for the first time, you look back for the first time. For those of you who gave, who rededicated your life, welcome back. For those of you who have just been with God all along, and you've just been doing very good with God, and you've been paying attention and studying your Bible and everything that God is supposed to be doing, it feels just as good this time as it did the last time. Amen. And our God is so awesome, isn't he? And I'm just thinking of a chorus that I'm going to sing real quick before we pray for a second and then get into the sports. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, for who you are, for what you're doing on the inside of us. Thank you, Lord God, for this challenge that you've been dealing with me, people, about how this Judgment Day is like a test. You're helping these people. Thank you that these people are giving their lives to you so that they can pass the test on Judgment Day and be able to make heaven and inherit the kingdom of God. And I thank you, Lord God, that we're going to be doers of this word. Doers of this word and not hearers only. We're going to be hearers of it. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Amen and amen and amen. All right. We got 10 minutes left. I think I can do this within 10 minutes. So first of all, you had Michigan playing Ohio State. Michigan did a good job. They beat Ohio State. Forget the score, but they beat them. This was basketball, you got to realize. And Michigan is still in number 8. They're still doing a really good job. And so that's really good to see. The Pistons continue to struggle as they had another loss last night. Another loss, 115 to 105.
They lost to Charlotte. And as to who they should trade away, I don't know. I don't have the answers. If they traded either Blake Griffin or Andre Drummond, either one of them would be a big loss and big shoes to fill. Okay. Okay. All righty. Here is the minute you've all been waiting for. It's time to do a coin flip. We got heads. We got tails. I'm going to do a coin toss in a minute. Landing on heads represents a pick for the Patriots.
Ooh.
Landing on tails represents a win for the Rams. And we're going to have to wait and see based on what happens when I do the coin flip. That's going to be the pick. I told you about that one story a couple of nights ago about that kid who claimed that Tom Brady with the Flategate, that he cheated and all that kind of stuff. But I decided, you know what? That's not going to be a factor in my pick at all. I had thought about doing a certain pick and picking a certain one, but then I decided, you know what? That won't make it as much fun because it is Super Bowl Sunday coming up. So I figured I got to go with something, and so I figured I'm going to do the coin flip, which I also do, you know, and. Other games that really matter. I like to sometimes go with this, particularly if I'm not sure who I think will win the ball game. And so, with this, let's see. Heads or tails?
Tails.
Oh.
Let me see for sure. Tails.
It's tails.
Ram here.
Yep, tails is Ram trucks. Ram trucks, 32. Patriots, 29. They win by a field goal. I figured it's going to be close regardless of what gets picked. I said it's going to be based on the coin flip. And last year I did a coin flip, and guess what? I picked the Patriots. They didn't win.
Oh, that's right.
And I owed someone a Coke and a donut for it. I owed someone a Coke and a donut. And they bragged about it on Facebook.
Oh.
And all that, and they said, he owes me a Coke and a donut. And they said, I owes me a Coke and a donut. And she was funny about it, and I was, because I was there at that certain Super Bowl party, and she said, he owes me a Coke and a donut. He owes me a Coke and a donut. She told me. He owes me a Coke and a donut.
Did you pay it?
Yep.
All right, good job.
Yep, I got it a Coke and a donut. And so, this is just something fun that we do. You know, people do all kinds of crazy bets and that. They're trying to bet on things other than they're trying to bet on how many first downs. They're trying to bet on how many there's all kinds of crazy things. Will the person who sings the national anthem mess up some of the lyrics? And like all these crazy kind of bets. It is just crazy what they try to bet on. It's insane. I just choose to go with the score and that and just do the little coin flip thing, and
yeah.
It's Sunday. I am going to watch it. It is. You will be able to watch it on the Yahoo Sports app as well as on Fox, and it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a really good game. It's going to be a really good game, and I'm really excited about it. And so, with that, folks, I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that we're going to have a safe weekend and that you're just going to be with us. And we're going to be living great peace and great joy and be a powerful witness for you. And no evil shall befall us. No claim shall come nigh us, our dwelling. Our furnaces aren't going to break. They're going to survive tonight, tomorrow, and then Friday as the cold begins to leave and it warms up. And that you're just going to be with us, and we're going to live with great peace and great joy and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. I sure love you. Until Monday, God first, God always. And hopefully your team, whoever you pick, wins. I still have a certain team that I would like to win, but what happened with the coin toss. So yeah. We'll see what happens Monday, and I'll talk to you about it Monday. So long, everybody.
This year could be different.
God first, God always. So long, everybody.